to up there. How are things?
Very busy.
Yes,
last year.
Yeah. All right. All right. City Council, we'll come back from recess. If it's okay with the City Council, what we'll do, because we're running late, is we will hear testimony and then get an overview after from our staff. So if you're okay with that, Council, Carla can... Oh, you've already read the item.
Oh, I did last.
Read the item. So if you could please begin calling on people. Okay. How many do we have?
We now have four still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Feels cool.
Roger may have left. Roger Weeder.
Yes.
Let's go with Theodora Sankas, Kent Crayford, and Floyd Jones.
Hi. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You know the rules. If you're a lobbyist, you need to disclose that you're a lobbyist and who you're a lobbyist for. Otherwise, it's just your name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Kent. Who is first?
Theodora.
Oh, Theodora, sorry.
Okay. Hi. I'm Dr. Theodora Sangas. On behalf of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, I thank you for this opportunity to comment. We support the proposed federal legislative agenda because we believe that the effort to pursue relief from the source water treatment and storage requirements of LT2 should be the top priority for the city's federal agenda. We have an opportunity to stop the waste of $500 million ratepayer dollars. We have critical needs that must be met, and the LT2 rule does not protect public health. We request that you make two changes to the text of the LT2 agenda. One, modify the first statement to read, "The city will work diligently with the congressional delegation and the EPA." And second, add, "and to improve the methodology of the rule, which requires out-of-date methods that do not protect public health." This is a reference to method 1623. And for more information, you can see our comments to the Oregon Health Authority on the proposed Bull Run variants that was sent to you earlier this week. Our proposed text reads, "The city will work diligently with the congressional delegation and the EPA to pursue relief from raw water treatment and storage requirements of the federal long-term 2 enhanced surface water treatment rule, LT2, for Portland's drinking water system." And then add in, "and to improve the methodology of the rule, which requires out-of-date methods that do not protect public health. The city seeks assistance from the delegation in obtaining the same consideration from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency as New York City to evaluate alternative compliance options for the uncovered finished drinking water reservoir requirements of the rule. On a related matter, we request that the City Council now commit to a timely, transparent public process for setting the strategy and timeline for relief from LT2. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kent Crayford, and I'm here representing the Portland Water Users Coalition, which is a group of large industrial and commercial water customers. I'm also here to support the city's federal priorities for 2012, and specifically the placement of relief from the LT2 rule right at the top of the agenda. This is wonderful to see. We very much are encouraged by the city's efforts to continue to follow through and seek hopefully permanent relief from this illogical mandate, which is, as Theodora said, costing Portland ratepayers $500 million in unnecessary spending. Two things to follow that. First, when the EPA indicated to New York City earlier last year that it would work with them to avoid New York having to treat or cover their open reservoir, that was a huge breakthrough in this five-year battle. Obviously, it's great news for Portland and any other municipal water system in a similar situation. Accordingly, we'd like to see the City of Portland enter into a formal partnership with the City of New York. We're really encouraged by Mayor Bloomberg's efforts, the City of New York's water utilities efforts, to not just push back in a temporary fashion on LT2, seeking some kind of extension or delay or variance, but in seeking permanent revision of the LT2 rule itself. We don't just want a short-term solution. We need a long-term permanent fix that recognizes the pristine nature of the Bull Run watershed, that our historic open drinking water reservoirs are perfectly well-functioning, that we do not have a cryptosporidium problem in them, as evidenced by 7,000 liters of water sampling there in 2009, and therefore that Portland shouldn't have to do this. We shouldn't have to build $500 million in unnecessary infrastructure. Secondly, we'd like to see the city engage directly with the Obama administration in seeking that long-term rewrite of LT2. It's one thing to work with the EPA, but we think it's time to go a step above. And when the president comes here, which inevitably he will in the next 11 months, we'd like to see if there is any attention to local issues, that this be put at the top of the list. So it's important that this is at the top of the list for our federal priorities, and it's important when the city council is talking with the president's staff when he comes to Portland that these issues be addressed. Thank you.
But just to clarify, having talked to the president's staff, I don't know about continuously, but over my term as mayor, this has been a topic that I've talked to him about.
Great.
This is White House staff. So, yes,
great.
We need to continue at all levels, which we have sought to do. U.S. Conference of Mayors, this has been an issue that I've talked to other mayors about as well. So we try to take every opportunity. We'll continue to do so with your help.
Great. Thank
Ms. Jones?
Lori Jones, and I'm with Friends of the Reservoirs, and as you know, we've been working on this issue for a full decade, and we're here to support relief from LT2 as being a city priority. And we support the comments that have been made by Physicians for Social Responsibility and Portland Water Users Coalition, but I think we should take it a step further and include language that says you're going to work to reform the rule. As you know, the basis for this regulation is to reduce, the goal, rather, of this rule is to reduce the level of disease in the community from drinking water from cryptosporidium. And there's just no evidence that there's ever been any level of disease in this community or most others from drinking water from cryptosporidium. And the underlying flaw of this rule is that the sampling methodology does not distinguish between harmless, which most varieties of crypto are, harmless crypto and harmful crypto. So that's a major flaw of the rule. There was a public meeting held in Washington, D.C. in December. Our Portland Water Bureau did attend, but they haven't received directive from this city council that says you're going to go there and work to get reform of this regulation and address this sampling methodology problem. The American Water Works Association has been working on that for many, many years. They published a summary of that meeting in which they indicate that EPA is going to redact data from their first round of sampling. And why is that? Because the data doesn't tell you anything about public health. So, you know, we need to modify our focus here to go beyond, obviously, as, you know, our organization started to address issues related to the reservoirs. We fully support alternative compliance to the treat or cover requirement, but we would like to see reform of the entire rule. And then addressing the reservoir piece specifically, the Water Bureau has put together a proposal for pushing out compliance with the reservoir 5 years. We've asked that it be pushed out to 2034. We'd like to see a transparent and open public process to address that schedule before it's submitted to the state of Oregon.
Are you saying that Theodora and Kent are soft on the issue?
No.
You said that their testimony was fine, but it needed to go beyond that.
Well, I think if we had talked about language beforehand, I think we would all agree that reform of the EPA rule is what's necessary. We've all
worked together. How is that different than permanent revision?
Floyd should be sitting to the right of us.
Yeah, well, it depends on what that permanent
revision is. Permanent revision not as strong as reform?
No. Well, I guess they're both equally strong.
Well, there you go. You brought the whole community together. Thank you very much for your testimony.
You.
Points, I think, are well made. Can we have staff come up? If you could give us a quick overview of the issues in our federal agenda as revised today by the two resolutions.
Sure. Mayor Adams and commissioners, for the record, my name is Martha Pellegrino, Director of Government Relations. With here today with Neil Stillstrom, our federal legislative assistant, and not here, but sending very good thoughts, is Vicki Cram from D.C. Both Neil's and Vicki, I just want to acknowledge their work in putting this together, along with you and your staffs and the staffs in the Bureau. We really appreciate everybody's input. Before I touch on the priorities in the legislative agenda, I do want to say that the process for building the agenda began back in October and really has involved a great deal of input with Mayor and Commissioner Fritz. With your leadership, we worked with the Office of Neighbor Involvement to hold a community engagement forum where we solicited thoughts broadly about what should be in the agenda and both the state and federal agendas. And many of the items that were identified at that forum you'll see in the report reflected before you. Two very quick things, just in terms of some context. There are two notable changes in the way we structured the agenda this year. First is, given the federal cuts to domestic spending, there are a number we asked for the first time, basically, which of these programs are most critical to the city's mission and what are the and our delivery of services to citizens. And what came back, you'll see in the agenda, again, we need to really protect and preserve cuts to housing programs, community development, block grants, transportation programs, to make sure we are not losing ground at a federal level on these key issues. And secondly, as you well know, since Congress has placed a moratorium on earmarking, the priority projects or the priorities, the top priorities in this agenda are not a list of projects. They're a list of key regulatory, administrative policy, and in some cases, programmatic funding programs. So I just wanted to make that distinction. So at this point, I mean, I'm happy to answer questions. The first part of the legislative agenda, you'll see there are nine top city priorities, and then the second part is frankly just structured based on theme and the different issues that are coming up. But happy to answer any questions from the council.
So the final will include the issues we added today.
Happy to.
The war resolution. I haven't seen the final. Does the final include the war resolution and the Citizen United issues?
So the on the last page of the agenda, there is on page 10, there is a section on campaign finance that we believe addresses both of those issues. So if you're comfortable with the language, we drafted it with input from your staff, understanding that these resolutions will be coming before council. If this is sufficient, but if there's any changes we need to make, happy to make those.
I mean, the resolutions speak for themselves, so you can refer folks to the resolutions,
right.
The therefores. So if you could put in the therefores be resolved as a substitute for these issues, I think it would just be clear.
Happy to.
Good. All right. Any discussion from council? This, as you know, this is something that has been in gestation a long time. So thank you. Any discussion?
Yeah. I would move to amend the first priority under from relief from the long term to enhance service-rural treatment under that. Where the word continues after city exists, strike continues, substitute will for continues. After the word work and before the word with, insert the word diligently. And at the end of the paragraph, after the word rule, remove the period and add the words and to improve the methodology of the rule, which requires out-of-date methods that do not protect public health.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the, unless there's discussion among council, please call the vote.
I'm just wondering, do we want to also add something on seeking long-term? What's my notes on that?
If we just added the word to permanently improve the methodology of the rule, I think that would cover it. Would you take that as a friendly amendment?
I just added the words. I took it from the Physicians for Social Responsibility. So
I would offer a friendly amendment to permanently improve. So that adds, that also speaks to the permanence. There's some debate in the testifiers, some critical debate in the testifiers, the difference between reform and permanently revise. So we'll just say permanently improve. No, you can't talk now. You had your chance, doctor. So that's, if that's accepted as a friendly amendment, it is. Can you please call the vote on the proposed amendment seconded by Commissioner Fritz?
Fritz.
And certainly, I think the intent is to do what we were just asked to do and that we agree that we want to permanently revise the rule or seek other remedies. So I think we have agreements on that. So thank you very much for coming to testimony. Thank you for making the amendments. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
I think it does permanently improve the methodology. Absolutely covers the issue of crypto that's generically stated versus crypto that's actually a human health factor. So that's the legislative intent here, and I think it's actually contained well as in the amendment. So aye. It's approved. Unless there's additional council discussion.
And you are, as you mentioned, already working with the City of New York and the mayor on the second suggestion to seek a partnership on that revision.
That is a way to permanently improve the methodology.
Yes, so you will just do that.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Please call the vote on the federal agenda as amended.
Fritz.
Well, thanks again to Mayor Adams and to Government Relations and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement for involving the community in this as well. It's been one of, I think, our permanent legacies over the last 3 years that we have reformed how citizens are invited in. And again, at the very last minute, at the very last opportunity for public testimony, eloquent, intelligent folks came in and made a suggestion, which responsive elected officials heard and responded to. Again, this is what democracy looks like. This is very amazing. And I also want to thank our government relations team, including Vicky Cram in Washington. I've been very impressed at how you communicate with me, and you let me know what's going on in Washington, D.C., even though I've never been there. And you also are very diligent about communicating with each member of our congressional delegation. So that makes it work. And as I said, when we adopted the state agenda yesterday, you were very highly respected, and that makes it easier to further the city's agenda. So thank you so much. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you. Aye.
Adams?
I thanked you yesterday via speakerphone. I want to thank you again and add to that specifically Nils, who comes from a longtime work on Capitol Hill, and also an opportunity to publicly thank Vicky Cram, who I just think does a fantastic job for us. Thank you for the amendment, Commissioner Leonard, and Commissioner Fritz. The community outreach that you envisioned when you ran for the city council, I think it has really paid huge dividends, and I want to thank you as well. Aye. So approved we are, and we're adjourned.
Thanks, dude.